In the name of our risen Lord, amen. Our text is the lesson read previously, especially these words. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. Ki hu chayekem. It is our great calling to bring these life-giving words of God to God's people today, even as Moses brought them to God's people after the Exodus, just prior to the occupation of the Holy Land. And as you bring these life-giving words to God's people, you're going to encounter a flawed view, namely that Moses' word, the Torah, the first book of sacred scripture, that those words are almost completely God's law, God's demands, God's requirements. Even our text title, Deuteronomy, Second Law, comes from the title of the Septuagint in the Vulgate and contributes to such a flawed perception. Deuteronomy is so much more than law. The Hebrew title is better. It says, these are the words, and they rightly convey the great and expansive good news of God. These words are not only good, they describe reality. These words disclose the character of God, the God who called all of creation into existence, the God whose eternal word became flesh in Jesus of Nazareth. And a bit later, in this book of life-giving words, Moses summarizes the human situation then and the human situation now. Listen to his words. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses before you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Do you hear the echo of Genesis 1 and 2? The wonderful creation of heaven and earth, the blessings and curses. Now he says, choose life so that you and your children may live. And you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Hu chayecha, the Lord is your life. That is good news, and it's a gift from God. The Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy, should more accurately be described as the words of life. For they display and describe the embodiment of God in history and his love for his people throughout time. Indeed, the Hebrew word for word, davar, includes events. It includes space and time. The word of God is enfleshed in many ways. In fact, the first four chapters of Deuteronomy describe the life-giving words that were displayed and rehearsed in the extraordinary saving events that God had ordered in his love, his mercy for his people. And like a golden thread through those life-giving words is life-giving worship. The sacramental presence of God in those sacrifices, in the tabernacle, in the wonderful presence of God. His glory came not as an idea, but as the reality of God's good life, a gift to the people. And even when the Ten Commandments are given a second time in Deuteronomy chapter 5, they begin, as before in Exodus, with the grand indicative. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, from the place of bondage. And here's an important note. As you read the Old Testament and especially the Torah, observe how the indicatives come before the imperatives. The indicatives precede the imperatives, and that's all important. It's not about law exclusively. It's about a gift that gives us all things. God gives, he gives, and he gives. He gives us creation. He gives us the world. He gives us himself in his image. He gives these life-giving words. He gives the woman's seed, Seth's seeds, Noah's seed, Abram's seed, Isaac's seed, Jacob's seeds, Judah's seed, all in the Torah. And that is the enfleshment of God's Son, for he came from that blood and from that seed. This is the God who would send a Savior in the flesh to redeem our flesh. Even in its etymology, Torah denotes teaching, not simply law. And in its usage, it primarily points to God's self-disclosure, the revelation that his steadfast love endures forever. So law, nomos, nomological categories are inadequate to explain those gracious indicatives. Now, we live in a culture and at a time that finds these words threatening and repugnant rather than life-giving. And on the surface, it is clear that they don't want any of God's laws to inhibit their self-absorption and their behavior. Now, very publicly and crassly, much of the entertainment industry, much even of the business community, is recently evidenced in our state, and many of those in the pinnacle of government power are prepared to call what the Torah identifies as good evil. And what the Torah calls evil, they're prepared to publicly say it's good. And therein, below the surface, in such blatant challenges to these life-giving words and to all of sacred scripture, under the surface is something we recognize, a rebellion and a challenge to God himself. He is not wanted nor desired, and we know what's happening. We know all about it. We have seen it in Adam. We have seen it in the majority of Israel who went after the Baals after having been given everything by God. And we have to say we see it in our own fallen condition. But God, who is our life, does not destroy us, but he sends us words of life. And it is those life-giving words we carry to a world that is hearing false, deceptive, and deadly words. It's tragic how souls are being destroyed every moment by the blaring lies of our culture. And physical death will follow very swiftly. The truthful, the beautiful, the life-giving words that God gives have defined each of us in our baptism. You are the fathers, you are the sons, you are the spirits. You have been joined to these life-giving words that aren't empty, but they are filled with God's presence. And you have been joined in those flood of baptismal gracious waters to the very death and resurrection of Jesus. And that is truth. and it is truth forever. Your flesh, not just your mind, is now defined by his life-giving words, words that pronounce the great absolution of God's mercy and grace in Christ. Words that bring you his very body and blood from this and every faithful altar. My prayer for you is to be whom God has made you. Pastors, wives, deaconesses, who are daily refreshed and nourished by these life-giving words, and then enabled by God's Spirit to go forth with those same life-giving words to a world that is drowning in false and deadly words. Never, ever, for a moment, leave the God who is your life. And these life-giving words, as even recently some formerly Christian traditions have done, cling to those words. Cling to the God whom they bring you. Hold your flesh close to his sacramental presence and be restored and refreshed with no fear, for God is with you. Even as we have just said in our hymn, my Maker, hold me in your hand. O Christ, forgiven, let me stand. Blessed Comforter, do not depart. With faith and love, enrich my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.